How many of y'all are truly grateful that you get to be in worship today? You get to be here and celebrate God. Amen? And, man, I want to give glory to God. How many of y'all give glory to God for just the singers that He sends to this church? Did they not do just a blast of a job? So since we've kind of, you know, we're swinging in that Christmas gear tonight, let me remind you, 6 o'clock here at church, right here in this auditorium, our choir will be bringing just a extravaganza of Christmas music. So if you want to come and get your praise on tonight, okay? See, hey, that's a good thing to do before finals, is get your praise on for an hour. And some of you, if you're like me, you're going to need to beg for the mercy of God. So I'd start out by praising Him, you know, and getting this thing going. I want to talk about peace today, the advent of peace, which is the revelation of peace. A revelation really means this, the reality of peace. Jesus Christ becomes the reality of peace. Now let me ask you a question. Many of you in this room would confess this with your mouth. A lot of you in this room would even confess this with your heart. How many of you absolutely believe that because Jesus Christ was born from that Virgin Mary, entered into this realm called earth, that your sins are absolutely forgiven because He died on the cross? Now, how many of y'all confess that with your mouth? Now, that makes you a follower of Jesus. That's your confession. Now, how many of y'all believe that in your heart? You know, every bit of your sin is forgiven. So you believe that. Then let me ask you a question. Why so anxious? Why is the church so anxious if we really believe that? Why are we, the followers of Christ, as stressed out and messed up as those without Christ? Now, I'm not questioning your belief. I do believe that you believe all your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. I think a lot of you believe, oh, in my heart, I feel that vibration. I know God and the Holy Spirit is absolutely in me. I think what we forget to turn on and turn up in our lives at particular times is this, the reality of God's revelation in our life. Does that make sense? Jesus has got to be greater than a bumper sticker and a t-shirt. And a slogan. You know, a lot of us like to have Jesus slogans. He'll bless you. It'll be alright. Peace be with you. But really, watch this. Here's the truth. It's going to be alright because God created it. What do you think? I mean, I want you to look at your neighbor. Mickey, guess what? I'm going to let you know something. God made you. Tell your neighbor that. God made you. Come on. I ask you all to do that. Guess what? I ask you all to do that every once in a while because guess what? You forget. You know what? Now, I don't know about you, but as the choir was singing, and that kind of had a, for you old folks, that kind of had an Elton John sway with the choir coming in the back of that new song. You know, and I kind of grooving. I kind of felt at peace. How many of y'all felt at peace? You know, Jevin up there, he kind of like, in the choir back there, peace. I felt a lot more at peace just a few seconds ago than I probably will at 4:45 this Friday on Scottsville Road. I feel a little more at peace right now. Why? Because I'm listening to the truth that is being revealed. It's being revealed through what? Through song. Truth is, there is a real peace in this world, and He has a real name, and His name is who?
Jesus.
Now, church, I want us to anchor down a little bit today. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, following to verse 11. I'll find my Bible. Right there it is. I'm going to read the first part to you. You and I must come to realize there is a peace. Your sins are forgiven.
This Christmas thing is a beautiful thing. Jesus is born. Now let me take some of the anxiety. How many of y'all been seeking God? Seeking God, seeking God. I come from the generation of seeking God. We even created what was called the seeker-sensitive church, making sure that you felt comfortable in church so that you might come back. The problem with it is that was all, it's not about us. And you'll never find peace. I want to tell you young guys, I want y'all to get it quicker. Is that all right? Here's where I'm being merciful. Get it quicker. You will be at peace even more when you get your eyes off of your own journey. Does that not sound incredibly weird? Because everything tells you to be what? Robbie, focused on who? Me! I'm the center of the universe. I'm about to graduate. I am good. I am blessed. I'm the one. Anybody else feel like that? How many of y'all married the one? Oh, gosh. When you marry the one, raise your hand, honey. You did. It's about this time of year. Now, what happened in our marriage here, I'll be honest, what happened in our marriage, I thought I was the one. Elizabeth knew I was not the one. And it took us a few years till we got our marriage in line with the one. Does that help you? That'll preach, won't it? Well, where does peace come from? When you realize God wants to get to you. Now, let me give you the proposal. I don't believe we go find peace. I believe peace comes to us in Christ. Okay? Well, here, let me show you the Christmas story. Did Mary, here's Mary, this righteous woman, did she go fill out an application to be the mother of the Savior of the world? Did she take a personality profile that said, what are your qualifications, Mary? Or did she wake up one morning and say, you know what? I just feel like a blessed teenager. I think I ought to be the mother of the Son of God. I'm going to seek God to see if He wouldn't deliver this opportunity in my life because I'm a positive kind of girl. Is that the way it happened? Or did God visit Mary? And He said, Mary, you know what, you righteous girl, now I'm going to do something you don't really understand. But if you're willing to flow with me, something's going to come from you that will bless the universe. Mary, I am going to impregnate you with the power of the Almighty God, and you are going to carry the Son of God, which will be the Savior of the world. Do what? Amen. That right there is enough to blow your mind, amen? And then here's what you got to do. You got to go tell Joseph that you're pregnant and nobody else had anything to do with it. There's the second mystery. I'm going to tell you right now, if Elizabeth came home and said, honey, the Holy Ghost has got me pregnant. I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Ghost is fixing to see if He can rise again in 3 days. Now watch this, hold on. When God gets a hold of you, check this beautiful thing out, some unbelievable things are going to occur. Stay with me, church. God's been putting some things on my heart that I want to share with you. Betty Lois, I want you to know I'm going to tell you why we're all here together. Amen? I looked at Betty Lois this morning. Elizabeth looked at me and she said, Elizabeth's always just thought you so beautiful, Betty Lois. And she said, and I told Elizabeth, I said, Elizabeth, if you keep going and you look like Betty Lois at that time, you're going to be all right, girl. See, you need to set some journey. But Betty Lois up there singing, and I got to thinking. I said, you know, this is our 19th Christmas together. I remember when Betty Lois used to have a pastor with a mullet. And Betty Lois up there singing to the glory of God. And I thought to myself, that girl has been singing from Peters Creek in Lucas, Kentucky. In Bowling Green, Kentucky, all her days, she's wanted the peace of God to be heard. That's what makes it beautiful. And I want you to know that God wants to make you a beautiful person. But I want you to know you're not beautiful just because you're a person. You're beautiful because God has said that He made you and He loves you and He wants to remake you. It's not just, it doesn't come out of us. It comes from God to us. Somebody got the direction? You see, God came to Mary. Yes. When they were out in the hillside, who came to the shepherds? Y'all remember the story? Y'all have seen it over and over again. Remember the kids in the bathrobe and stuff? You know, the Christmas play? That's the section I'm on right now. All right? And the shepherds were out on the hills, and what happened? Who showed up? Angels showed up. These angels showed up, and who were the angels? They were FedEx from the kingdom of heaven. Messengers of God. They were the telegram. They were the Western Union. They were God's email. Heaven mail. And they told the shepherds, they didn't say, shepherds, get your garments out and you will see the location of the Savior born today. They said, unto you today, a Savior has been born. And they ended their heavenly email with this, peace and goodwill to men. If you read that carefully, to what type of men? Just a little question. Didn't say some.
He said all.
He said all, Tyler. Did he say that to the Muslims?
No.
Tyler, I got to help you. Yeah. Because he wants them to be saved too, don't you think?
I was just kidding.
Yeah, just kidding. I know. I got you, Tyler. We're going to work this together. Amen. Hey, Tyler, I like you. You know what? A lot of them said no, nah, too, and they just wasn't man enough to yell it out like you do. You know what I mean? Look at here. Look at here. God granted peace toward man. Now, I want to tell you, every Christmas, we live in America, and we get into the Christmas wars, don't we? The Christmas wars have already started. Remember last year, the great crisis of Christmas was, is that Target was saying, Happy Holidays, and not Merry Christmas. Well, now we've had our first Christmas controversy last week out in Seattle. The state capitol put a nativity scene up there. And apparently these nativity scenes illuminate power all over the place because people who prefer to believe in atheist stance are scared to death of nativity scenes. If you put them in the state capitol, every congressman and representative will become a believer in Jesus Christ and start making faithful decisions. I don't know about you, but we've had nativity scenes in political locations, and it doesn't seem to have much effect on them, in my opinion. But according to these atheists, these nativity scenes are powerfully crazy. They're scared to death of them. I wanted to tell them, that's not really the baby Jesus in there, it's just a plastic doll. Those are not the real wise men. Those are mannequins. Those are not the real shepherds. Those are just shepherds. And the donkeys are fake too. But apparently, if you decide, and you have all freedom in the world to be an atheist, if you're an atheist, these things bother you because they connect you to the atheist dilemma. Now, I want you to know if you are an atheist here today, you're welcome here. I love you. I have several friends that are atheists. As a pastor, they're atheists. They don't believe in a thing I got going on. And they laugh all the time and say, why do you hang out with me? I said, you intrigue me. I said, and you're a very intellectual person, and I love to have intellectual conversation. But I said, what amazes me with several of my atheist friends, and I'm not speaking out of turn because I've told them this, and I said, I say this about you all the time. You never can get past your incongruency. If you don't believe there's a God, why do you hate Him so bad? You see, if I didn't believe anything spiritually exists, if I truly believe that, then I'm not going to have any passion toward opposing what I do not believe exists. And the only response they have to me is, well, you don't understand how many people you're influencing with this myth. And I said, well, what's the great crisis? I said, oh God, they might learn to love each other better. That would be horrible. They might, they go, heirs, well, let me ask you a question. What if after you're dead, there's nothing to this? I said, I lived a life full of passion and life and humor, and I found peace in some parts of it, and love in some of it, and chaos in a lot of it, and confusion throughout it. But all in all, I embraced the concepts of Jesus, and it was over. Now I said, truly, I've got peace with that. And I said, but what, just in hypothetical theory, there is a hell and there is a heaven, and Jesus is the only way. That's a heck of a risk.
But don't you? It's alarming. And watch this. The only faith that's protested in America is what? It's Christianity. I've never seen anybody come after Ramadan. I mean, I've never seen anybody go after the Muslims. In fact, there was a Supreme Court case, not a Supreme Court case, but an appeals court case, that where the appeals court said that the crescent and the menorah were not even religious symbols. Where do our judges go to school? A third grader could tell you that the crescent moon is the religious symbol of Islam, and the menorah is the symbolism of Judaism. Guess what? Here's what I love about being in America, because I want y'all to ride the Christmas war for a minute. First of all, your pastor is a follower of Jesus Christ. This is what I believe. I believe if a human being asks Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins will be forgiven. They will be absolutely remade, and they will be redesigned. And one day when they die, they will end up in heaven. Call me crazy. Now, here's what I want you to know. I will never interfere with any human being in America saying, well, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the way into heaven. You have the freedom to that belief. You have the freedom to believe there is no God. But watch this. I don't haul off against atheists. I don't know why they haul off against us. And why are you so offended over something that doesn't exist? Maybe. Or maybe, Mr. King, probably more deeply. Because I'm going to try to be sympathetic to my friends because I've been there too. Now hear me when I say this. It's hell to save yourself. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's hell to save yourself. How many of y'all tried to save yourself? How many of y'all woke up and, you know, maybe you saw Robert Shuler or somebody or Anthony Robbins and they told you if you would just smile and have real white teeth and be positive, the world would get better around you. So how many of you all shined your teeth, put on a smile, and you convinced yourself, today I will lead my life with the power of positive thinking. I'm going to positively think that everything's going to be all right. How many of you all have noticed if you're just going to use your power, the first thing will happen, your car won't start on that day. Why? Because batteries go dead. And so your car's not started, so you're, you know, How many of y'all get mad when things don't go your way? Any of y'all have that human dilemma? And I will get super mad. Like Elizabeth could come over and tell me, honey, this really a major event's going in our family, and I'll be calm and I'll be cool and collected. If I have a flat tire, my whole life shreds. Any of y'all wired weird like that? Like major crisis, I can be like really cool. Like really stupid stuff, like somebody scratches the side of my car. And y'all will be looking and going, is Pastor Steve saved? You see this crazy stuff? Why? We got to find peace. I just want to tell you what I found. I have found that I cannot get it on my own. Now, a lot of my brothers and sisters in here, for those of you that are wired with addictions, I understand how that is. To have that kind of mentality where I'm just going to do the same thing over and over and over again and try to get better. Any of y'all ever tried that one? How many of y'all have even tried the same solution over and over again, thinking it was going to work better the next time? How many of you find it didn't? I mean, there's all kinds of things we do. How many of y'all have tried, don't raise your hand on this, but I mean, you know if you have. How many of y'all tried to drink your way to peace? And what did you find? It's hard to have peace with that big a headache. Or snort your way to peace. And then your nose fell off. Or I'm going to, watch this, this is a popular one, I'm just going to love my way to peace. Come on, ladies, how many of y'all have ever said, if I just had a man, life would be great? Oh, go on. All right, men, let's fess up. How many of y'all have ever said this? If I could just date her, and you did, and the last thing you discovered was peace. How many of y'all found? Hey, she can be good looking. I'm talking dressed to the nines, knockout. That don't mean she's bringing peace. Sometimes she's riding a pale white horse and death is upon its name.
See what I'm saying? Girls, same thing with a man. He can be, watch this, he can be smooth. He can be debonair. He can look like, I'm going to bless you. How many of you ladies have always noticed when a man is courting you, he always buys better food than when he married you? He's on the hunt. What you ladies need to figure out, keep him hunting. Do not let him catch you till he's bought you a house, a car, and a ring. Keep him hunting. Huh? It'll bring more peace. And a job. Thank you, Chuck. Is it? Ladies, y'all aware of that, right? Let me help you. If he's like 28 and he can't find a job now, at 48, he'll still be trying to find himself. And you'll be lost, okay? Be careful, because guys lie. I'm one of them. I lie. You good-looking girl like Elizabeth, I lied to her. I looked at Elizabeth. I said, honey, I'll always be there for you. Especially when I was young. Did it happen? I said, Elizabeth, can I go play golf? And she's a beautiful young lady. You know what she said? That'll be fine. And see, I was young. I was like 20. I didn't know how to interpret tongues back then. See, fine from a woman's mouth about going to play golf after you've been out of town all week long means, how can you be so boneheaded to even ask? But I mean, I was just dumb as I could be. I'm not lying to y'all. I was dumb. How many of y'all, any of you ladies there, but just dated a dumb man? I was one of those. I mean, I was this dumb. Elizabeth one time asked me, she came downstairs and she went like this. Look, here's where you get dumb. She came downstairs and she says, honey, how's that dress look? I said, I wouldn't wear that. Larry, have you ever done something like that? I mean, in your younger years. I'm not talking about your smoothed up years. You know, after your wife's hit you enough to bring Jesus to you, huh? I'm talking in your young years. Did Emily ever look at you? Go back here a little bit when you was like 20. And she came, you know, downstairs or out into the room. She said, hey, Larry, how's this look? Were you ever stupid enough to tell the truth? See, I knew that because you were an engineer. You said, well, I tell you what, the shoulder's off a little bit here. Don't, hey, young guys, when you get ready to go to your Christmas party, whatever she's got on, let me help you. Man, that's beautiful, honey. Because, now, hold on. Now, some of you are going to question me. You say, Pastor Ed, the truth always sets you free. You're right. Somebody's going to think that's good looking. So you're stealing the truth. Be careful. Be at peace. Be aware. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. We got to learn to live out peace. Well, the big Christmas war this year is the atheist has set up a sign next to the nativity scene in Seattle, Washington. The sign reads this. There is no God. There is no devil. There are no angels. Christianity is a superficial and superstitious myth that leads people to be closed-minded and mean-spirited. Dot, dot, dot. You know what? There's only one thing that upsets me about that sign. The only place that guy's got some real firm argument is that some of the people that follow Jesus are very close-minded and mean-spirited. And I want to challenge us today to live in such a way, because I believe the atheist has the freedom to say that. Are y'all okay with that? I'm not one of these Christians that goes running after every person that pronounces an immorality. And here's why. I never saw Jesus getting too upset at false prophets. Did you? I mean, Jesus didn't spend his time here on earth knocking out the multi-gods of Rome. He was very aware of them. And he didn't spend his whole time here on earth just walking down the street shooting demons out of people. Have you noticed that? I mean, that happened a few times, but that wasn't his whole career. Have you noticed that? I mean, Jesus didn't walk in every synagogue and go, oh, there are demons in here. In fact, if you really look at the Bible, Jesus wasn't a demon hunter. In fact, when Jesus showed up, most of the demons didn't want to stay in town. Have you noticed that? But Jesus didn't go looking for them. In fact, if my mind serves me correctly, the man that was filled with demons ran to Jesus. Jesus didn't run to him. I'm just proposing. Maybe we'd be at a lot more peace if we'd actually live out the peace. What do you think? You see, I believe the atheist has a right to speak. I'm not offended by what the atheist says. The atheist says there is no God. I believe there is a God. The atheist says there is no devil. Primitive as it may be, I still believe there's a devil. I even had one of my professors ask me one time, Reverend Harris, do you mean you believe there's a literal entity of evil? I said, yes, Doc, I do. He says, do you believe in a demonic presence? This is a professor at one of our theological institutions in America. He goes, yes. He goes, how do you do it? I said, I've read some of your articles. You've had a few of them help you. You have embodied some of their teaching. And he said, well, where do you come to that? I said, here's where you and I are off base, professor. I said, you really believe the human spirit can heal itself. I said, if it can, why are we so messed up? Now, you could argue on the other side of this thing. Well, you believe that those who receive Jesus Christ get better. You know what? I can show you some folks that have really believed in Jesus Christ and gotten better. And one of the ways we really get better is this big one. I'm finally at peace with who I am. I'm more at peace. Now, as soon as I say this, everything in my house is going to fall apart. But that's okay. I'm more at peace today than I was a year ago. How many of y'all are finally okay with just who you are in Christ? You're from Kentucky. How many of y'all are okay with that? Those of you that are from Kentucky. Or if you're from Wisconsin, how many of y'all are okay with that? Or if you're from Puerto Rico, you're okay with that. Or if you're from Asia, you're okay with that. How many of you white people are okay with being white? Three of you. If you're black, how many of y'all are okay with being black? Good! See, y'all are starting to get me. Watch this. Here's where unity is. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Because I'm going to go through this real quick. We're coming right to the altar. You ready? I want the atheist to be able to write this one day. There is no God. There is no devil. There are no angels. However, these people who claim to follow him are very unusual, for they are a loving, peaceful people. You need to become a mystery. You need to become the mystery of peace. The church needs to be mysterious. How many of you all are getting better because you worship here? Okay, half of you. What's the matter with the rest of you? Y'all just coming to church to come to church? No, hold on. I want to help you. A lot of people are seeking God. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a very honest individual. I'm so honest, I stay in trouble 80% of the time.
Yikes.
Because people do not like honesty anymore, true? We don't want honesty. We want a lie. In fact, here's the world we're entering into, and I challenge you to this world. We want to call a Rottweiler a Chihuahua. Is there a difference? A big one. That's what we do with our sins. That's why we don't have a lot of peace. We call sin a Chihuahua. Because a Chihuahua, how many of y'all have been around a Chihuahua? Little old dog, you know, but they act all bad. You know, you go into somebody's house, they got a Chihuahua. I look at that Chihuahua and I look at my foot and I'm going, boy, my foot's twice the size of you. And I can look at that Chihuahua and say, you want me to score 3 points? But that's the way we treat sin. We think it's a Chihuahua. We think we're just going to move it out of the way at any time we want to move it out of the way. Let me tell you, it's a Rottweiler. Now, Rottweiler is a whole different story. You might lift your leg up and you're just giving him position to chew it off. Or he's a pit bull. Really, sin's more like a pit bull. Y'all have been around a pit bull? What's a pit bull do? Anybody know? A pit bull will hit you in your neck because what's located there? Your jugular vein, that pit bull smells, I smell jugular in the house, what that pit bull says. And he will bite you and clamp down on you until you die. Now let me ask you a question. How many of y'all just want a little bit of pit bull on you? But that's what we do with sin, don't we? Well, that ain't no big deal. What do we do with sin? Everybody, what? We think this justifies. Well, everybody does sin. So if everybody does arsenic, we just all do arsenic together? You see, we call a chihuahua. We think that pit bull's going to act like a chihuahua, and we lose all of our peace because we find out this sin is always a pit bull. And then God comes to us. He's born in Bethlehem. He says, peace toward all men. Why? Because our sins are forgiven. Now, when our sin is forgiven, Josh, you confess today that your sin's been forgiven. You and Ben had conversation after conversation. Somewhere the Holy Spirit said, Holy Spirit said, hey, Josh, Ben is crazy. But he's saved. And he believes. And that's what makes it work. Now, Josh, don't get confused. Just because you believe doesn't mean you get a good-looking woman like he did. That was a gift that came in with a package. Not everybody gets that. Some people get ugly women that have beautiful spirits. Other women get dishonoring men that become beautiful happenings. Come on, let's be honest. Anytime I get honest, y'all are like, oh, I can't believe he said that. Believe it! You see it every day. You live in it every day. The faith doesn't work till it gets real. I'm so tired of t-shirts, bumper stickers, and fluffy songs. I've read the book. It's about angels screaming from heaven that God loves you so much that peace can be in your life. And we need to be those passionate people. Look at this, church. Here's what he said, do. He said, let me tell you, he said in 1 Peter, you got that? He said, love one another. Be compassionate. Be friendly. Be understanding. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. You know what humble is? I can't get it done, but God's getting it in me. That's humility. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because this is what you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Now hold on, follow me here. Note this concept. Now I've kind of warmed you up. Why do we fight people that don't believe in God? Guess what we're supposed to do?
Love them.
Love them. How many of y'all realize if you're going to be something, I want you young people to really hear this because this is going to fry you all in your nice little cotton generation we've built. If you do something well, you are going to tick people off. Jesus ticked off a whole lot of people. He was not a long-haired hippie who everybody grooved with. Because Jesus would say things like this. Only those who follow me will inherit the kingdom of God. And those who were unwilling to follow Jesus, what did they do? They said, crucify him. The religious said, there's no way Jesus won't play my game. It's got to be in the Torah. It's got to be through the scroll. It's got to be through this methodology. I'm telling you right now, if you follow Jesus, people will be disturbed. But now, hold on. This is how you ought to disturb them. You don't need to disturb them with a poster or a protest sign. You need to disturb them with the incredible love of Jesus. And they ought to be able to look at our churches and go, how do they love each other like that? What do you think? How they love each other like that? You know what I love about Hillview? We actually love each other. We do love people here. If you're looking for a church that loves people, loves God and loves people, that's all we know how to do. They don't have a real good preacher. Now, on Wednesday nights, they got a real good preacher. On Sunday night, real good preacher. On Sunday morning, we get through it. They got a real good singing, though. And they got a choir director that has cool-looking hair. But that's not what gets it done. He's got a remade heart. Does that make sense? It's not about us being Hillview Heights Church. It's about us being sympathetic, compassionate, loving. And you know what love means? I can love you even though I disagree with you. That's where it's powerful. I don't have to agree with people to love them. Amen? Thank God.
And we live in America. And at the moment, America's free. And that means that atheists can say there is no God. But let me help you. And the person who follows Jesus can say, there is a God. And hark the herald angels sing. And if the atheist gets offended, guess what they have to do in America? They have to put up another sign. And if they can convince the world there is no God, so be it. But the believer also has a right to show the world that there is a what? So here's what I'm asking you all to be. Hark the herald angels sing. Y'all need to be harking angels. How many of y'all willing to be a group of harking angels this week? You need to get on Scotts Road and say, watch me hark. Now here's the way you hark. You hark. Now check this out. It's going to rhyme a little bit. You hark when you don't honk. Huh? You hark when you don't honk. How many of y'all are going to have opportunity to stand in line sometime this week in the next 3 weeks? You're going to stand in line. Who's going to be in line with you? People. Guess what you need to be doing? Hark in peace. In line. Now, how many of y'all going to be, Chad, you ever going to do this in line? I can't believe this store. I ain't going to tell you which one it is. They got 100 checkout lines. And they open 4 or 2. And how many of y'all have, and then there's people like me that are technologically dysfunctional. My wife goes, well, why didn't you just use the express lane? Go over there with your little credit card. I said, because I could be I said, honey, hadn't you heard of credit card fraud? I said, it never happens to people like me because I never use my credit card. So I stand in line. I wish I could tell you all that I stand in line and bear witness of Jesus Christ every time. But the Lord would hammer me down with a full suplex right here at the altar. Guess what I do sometimes in line? I go, I can't believe this place. Lord, have mercy again. 100 chicken, 2 lines. Don't they know what I got to do today? Now, that's not hark in peace. Hey, let me ask you a question. This week at West Kentucky University, what are they having? Have you all ever been? Some of you all are involved in groups, and they're telling you all to go be on a mission trip. Well, guess what? This week, I want to challenge y'all to be on a mission trip. What mission could you be on this week? Watch this. This is going to blow you away on campus. This speaks louder than bracelets and fake tattoos. Don't be stressed during finals. Now you got a real Jesus. But guess who will be more alarmed than anybody else? The Christian students. Well, if your God is the God of all the universe, and He has put everything into motion, then why are you more unnerved than these who don't even believe there is a God? Don't you hate it when our witness is more than another tingly song or a t-shirt or a bracelet? Oh, if it could be that easy. But here's what I'm encouraging us. Maybe we need to get out of the marketing business and get into the living it out business. Live with each other as brothers and sisters. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. I can bring you this living testimony. You all may not believe this, but people talk about me a lot. I'm a controversial figure. You know why? I do something that's very crazy in this culture. I believe Jesus is the only way into heaven. Ah! You bigotaires! What about all the people that don't believe in Jesus? I said, I believe they're headed toward hell. And that's why I preach like a wild man every Sunday. Because I don't want anybody to go to hell. Because God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And God died on the cross so that they wouldn't have to go to hell. And God got up out of the grave on the third day so that people wouldn't have to go to hell. And that's why occasionally when I'm in good line at Walmart, I go, hey, you ever heard about Jesus?
You go, why are you talking to me about this? I just want to make sure you ain't going to hell. Because I don't want you to go to hell. Jesus don't want you to go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. You know what? I haven't had too many people refuse that conversation. Some people will go, you're really for real. I said, I know I'm crazy. I said, I believe a man like me can go to heaven. That's pretty radical. Because I was a sinner headed to hell. Saved by the grace of God. Through a baby born in a manger. Pronounced by a group of angels. I don't even know their names. But he said, peace on earth toward all humanity. And only Jesus. So guess what? Let's pick this up this Christmas. Let's give the world a gift. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil. So I'm going to ask you to hearken your evil down. Speak good words at each other. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Words that say, Tyler, you can be a great man. What do you think about those words?
Really good.
Those are really good. How many of y'all speaking great words? Keep your lips from evil and from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Seek the peace this week. You're going to be all right. If you haven't studied by now, you're not going to make a good grade on your final. That has nothing to do with the mercy of Jesus Christ. It has everything to do with the mercy of Jesus Christ. Through these experiences, you will realize this. There will be another class. It will be in January. And they will hand you out a syllabi. And I suggest you follow it weekly. So when you get to May, you will not be in a crisis situation. I hope you learn this now so that you will not be like others who have gone before you. I don't know others who have led certain industries in America who have known they've been losing money for 10 years but still rode around in their private jets. Who now go to Washington going, we failed our finals. We would like to have $137 billion. I never knew a Chevrolet cost that much. We're the only country in the world where you mess something up, they pay you more. Why? Hold on. I know why it's going on. Here's what I'm telling you. You ready? Everybody listening? You can't buy peace. You can't steal peace. You can't create your own peace. Hark the herald angels sing. Unto you this day has been born a Savior. And He's taking us to heaven. And we're going to get there together. Amen? How many of y'all have messed up and failed miserably? Anybody else done that? How many of y'all have cussed where you were supposed to bless? How many of y'all have even cussed at Christmas? How many of y'all have even approached Christmas, this great holiday, before and said, oh no, it's Christmas. My in-laws are coming over. How many of y'all on a church staff have even said things like this? Well, let's just bring everybody in. Not that Dr. Markell would do this. He wouldn't. Mark, have you ever heard this on a church staff? Whew. Glad we got that Christmas thing over with. It was really busy. Maybe we need to say this. I'm glad God got that Christmas thing going on. Maybe we need to actually get with it. And hearken. Can y'all deal with that 16th century word? Hearken with the angels. So this week, I'm going to make up a new word. I can because I've been in school for a long time to make up words. We need to be hearkening. That is the process of hearkening. Is harking. Hearkening is the participation of hearkeneth. You got it? Which means, I told you I was making this up, honey. Elizabeth will be on a web page for 6 hours trying to find the definition of this to footnote it in the sermon. I'm making this up. But we need to be a part of the hearken of peace from Jesus. But you can't hearken till you're forgiven. And so today, guess what? God wants to forgive a whole lot of people. All of us. How many of y'all need some forgiveness? I mean, you really need that action. Now, some of you have already received Christ into your life. But guess what? I'm gonna challenge you today and say, wait a minute. God, it's not that He's right, but you're right in Him. I'm not living out what I'm saying has happened to me. How can I be this anxious and say that I trust You? Help me, Holy Spirit, to fill in where I am disconnected. Does that make sense? Because God will do that. Now you got to be at peace. Now, y'all need to ask me, if I'm at peace, am I going to appear to be crazy? Go ahead and ask me that. Ask me. Ask me that.
If I'm at peace, will I appear to be crazy?
Yes. Because the world's not at peace. And people just get mad when you're having a good time and they're having a miserable time. It just blows them away. And what, Leonard, what do they plot to do? If they look at you, Leonard, and you grooving that day, you've got a little hark and wing action going on, there's some peace vibrating out of your existence, what are people going to do? There's some people that walk around, you all know what I'm talking about, they walk around and they go, oh my gosh, there's a person in a good mood. And they come at them like this. And they march toward them. And they say, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to make sure I interrupt whatever you're believing in right now. But then there's the reality where God says, wait a minute, no matter what goes on, lo, I am what? With you. So guess what? Today some of y'all are going to come for the first time and ask Jesus in your life, and He's going to bless you, and it's going to be incredibly cool, and you're going to have a baptized Christmas. Wow. Blows me away. Some of you who've been believing for a while, how many of y'all need to get your peace gear back in? Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, y'all ever do this? You know God's great, but you live an average. Young ladies, it's real easy in this world, but I ain't busting on anybody, but it's real easy in this world to kind of just go along with the groove, you know what I mean? Here's the only problem with the groove. It leads to hell. Does that make sense? I'd be an unloving punk if I didn't tell y'all the truth. What do you think? Now, people get mad at me, especially some of the young people go, well, if we just don't believe in your philosophy, we believe we can do whatever we want to do and everything's going to be all right. How many of y'all believe that? Come on, I'm about done. How many of y'all believe that? Which is, I'm going to tell you the truth. I confess that I believed in Jesus and I went to church and did it my own way for a long time. I'd go to church and go, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds theoretically possible. But it's when you apply it that peace actually happens. Pursue the... That's what the Scripture said today. Pursue the what? Peace. Okay. Y'all are beautiful. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Hearken. Well, let's stand and hearken the call of God. Let's pray. Lord... Today, some people realize they're not in peace. Today, some folk may realize that their life is in pieces. And you'd like to bring some peace to the pieces. Okay, I'm going to get right here, where it lives, where it lives. If you've never asked Christ in your life, and today something kept going, you know, I need this. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Why don't you tell Him, Lord Jesus, I've sinned and I want to believe. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I've never seen God refuse. You gotta decide what you want to do. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe You died on the cross. I believe You've risen from the grave. I believe You'll change me. God, give it a shot. Maybe you need to come today and pray and say, God, you know what? I say that I believe, but I need You to activate Your ingredients, your reality in my belief. Amen. How many of y'all sometimes just need His reality in your belief? Amen. Yeah.
Well, the altar's open. And listen, I don't care if this is your first time at Hillview Heights or you've been here since you were born. Guess what? This altar's for everybody. And y'all come on and pray. And I'm going to ask one more prayer. That we become a peaceful people. We quit worrying about what's going to happen. And start praying this prayer. This prayer would change a lot of our congregation. God, we want to happen what you desire among us. See what that does in your life. God, I want to happen what you desire. What you desire, I want that to happen in my life. So come on, right now, in the name of Jesus. If you've never asked Christ in your life, we got some pastors that would love to share with you. If you've never been baptized, we would love to talk to you about being obedient in baptism. If there's places in your life that God said, man, go up there and talk to them brothers. I need to be healed of whatever I got going on. God wants to heal you right now. Oh, church, come on, listen. Holy Spirit's here. Y'all feel it. You know it. I see you twitching. Huh? He's here. Let Him save you. Let Him love you. Let Him touch you. There's people being saved right now. There's people being healed right now. Y'all know what's going on. There's people here that ain't buying it right now. That's okay too. But He is God. Let Him be God right now in our midst. In the name of Jesus, come. In the name of Jesus, come on. Come on. Come on, church. Let God speak His truth in your life. Come on, church. Come on. Come on, church. Come on. Bless them.